This time it looks as if New Orleans did dodge the bullet. Hurricane Gustav came ashore about 70 miles to the southwest. The storm severely tested the city's levees, pumps, and the electrical power grid. Trees and light poles are down. Residents may not be able to get back home until later this week. Other places, though, weren't so lucky. One place that's been described as ground zero of Hurricane Gustav is the town of Houma. And joining us now is Dee Dee Thurston, the managing editor for the Houma Daily Courier and the Terrebonne Press, with us by phone from her office in Houma. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hey, nice to be here.
And what kind of damage did Houma sustain?
There are hundreds of trees down, either broken or uprooted. Telephone poles are everywhere. Power lines are draped across roads, roofs, billboards in the middle of the street. It looks like most houses had some roof damage, even if it was just a few shingles missing. A few businesses and isolated homes had some more serious damage.
Houma's the home to a big fishing industry. A lot of boats anchored there. Did they sustain damage, too?
I haven't seen any damaged boats. The fishermen tend to bring them into sheltered areas and tie them up, and they tend to go up and down with the water, and they fare a lot better than you think they would.
And did most of the residents get out of town before the storm hit?
Yeah, they're estimating that 80% of people are gone. There are very, very few people visible here in Houma. Most of the cars that I see going by are either National Guardsmen or police. I'm not seeing a lot of people at all.
And is there, I assume the power's out if you're describing the power lines down.
There is no power in either Terrebonne or Lafourche parishes. We're operating here at our offices on generator power.
And are you getting supplies of fresh water? Do the people who need medical attention, are they getting it?
The fresh water that we have is fresh water that we stockpiled before the storm. I haven't seen anybody come through with water or any supplies like that. I know that I've talked to one of our state representatives who has people stationed at Thibodaux Regional Medical Center, and I know that that hospital is open. It is serving people, and I'm being told that it's pretty busy over there.
So any estimate of the number of casualties?
We have had no confirmed reports of deaths.
I understand your reporters are living there in the newsroom with you.
We're all living here in the newsroom.
When is it going to be safe to go home, do you think?
Well, we don't know. We're like everybody else who lives here. We're waiting to find out. I can tell you that right now it is not safe to be on the roads. I myself drove a route that should have taken me 10 minutes yesterday, and it took me an hour and a half. The streets are simply not passable.
Was there flooding?
Not in most of Terrebonne or Lafourche. Some of the very coastal communities did have a little bit of flooding.
And what's the weather like now?
The breeze is blowing, and it's a little bit overcast, and it's kind of cool.
So, obviously, the storm has passed over, and, well, it's dumping rain on other people now.
I understand that people north of us are getting to meet Gustav now.
This is an area that, of course, everybody remembers Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. Hurricane Rita arrived shortly thereafter and also hit Houma. How does this compare?
Hurricane Katrina really didn't affect us at all, other than that we got a lot of new people here very quickly, and it was a swell on our infrastructure, all the evacuees who were coming from St. Bernard and New Orleans. Rita was the one that impacted us more, even though it didn't come anywhere near here. It skirted our coast about 150 miles off for about 2 or 3 days, and it pushed a lot of water in here. It flooded about 10,000 homes in Terrebonne. In Terrebonne Parish, we don't have any hurricane protection levees. We're kind of vulnerable to whatever the ocean wants to dump on us. So when that water comes up, it comes all the way up into our communities. And in Rita, it pushed it as far inland as it ever has in history because of the coastal erosion and the subsidence that we're experiencing along our coast.
And as you look at that, we've not just had Gustav. We've got three more storms.
Yeah, I just actually got on the line and saw that, and I closed my browser. I don't want to see that right now.
I don't blame you. But it's not going to change anybody's mind about where they live and what they do for a living, is it?
Well, fortunately, this is, I guess, one of the things that we have to deal with living here. You know, it's easy to say, why don't you just move someplace else where you'd be safer? But our thought is, this is our home. This is where we live. We love it here. It's our, we don't want to give up a culture, a way of life. But, I mean, there are dangers wherever you live. There's tornadoes in Kansas. There's earthquakes in California. This is our danger. And we also want people to remember that this is an oil and gas community. 16-18% of the oil that feeds the nation comes out of Port Fourchon alone. If we weren't here, cars wouldn't run.
Well, right now, do you guys have enough gas to keep your cars running and your generators?
We're getting kind of concerned about that. We haven't run out of gas yet, but we have folks in our office. We've got a skeleton crew here right now of about 10 that have weathered out the storm. We got a few essential personnel that went elsewhere, and they're coming back, and they're bringing supplies to us, we hope.
Good
luck
to you.
We understand Mary Landrieu was on our way to our offices and was supposed to be here about 2 hours ago, but we just got a phone call that she can't make it to home of the roads or not passable.
Senator Landrieu, of course. Dee Dee Thurston, we wish you and your staff the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Dee Dee Thurston, managing editor for the Houma Daily Courier and the Terrebonne Press, with us by phone from her office in Houma, Louisiana. Billy Nungesser is the president of Plaquemine Parish in Louisiana. He joins us now by phone from his office there. And it's good to have you with us today, too.
Yes, how you doing?
And how are you dealing with the floods?
We're making progress, but we get a couple steps ahead and we get set back. We just had a large levee breach down at Point Celeste on the West Bank in Plaquemines Parish that has about a foot of water over the road now, and it's moving in quickly, about a 250-foot breach, and it's flowing pretty good through there, and eventually we'll cover the whole road in that area.
And this is we heard a lot about the levees in New Orleans. This is obviously a completely separate area. How many houses are going to be at risk there?
Well, you know, everybody asked that question, and it's probably less than 100 houses. But what people don't realize is the last built refinery in the United States is in that area, as well as 5% of the oil and gas for the whole nation comes out of Tennessee Gas, which is right south of there. Not to mention another refinery south of there and all the oil and gas industry that goes out of the Port of Venice. And I think that's part of the reason this levee hasn't taken priority as some of the ones in New Orleans and other areas, and not taking anything away from those areas. But obviously this levee was not patched properly after it actually was patched by private money after Katrina, and it is a private levee. But after Rita, the Corps put some quick stops in the levee, but some areas are 3-foot elevation. So you can imagine how much that'll hold back in the time of a tidal surge from a storm. And we've tried to get money. It is going to be in the federal system, but the design and the acquire and borrow pit and those kind of things have delayed this. You know, in 2006, Congress approved the money to build it, and we haven't moved the first shovel of dirt yet.
We're talking with Billy Nungesser, president of Plaquemines Parish in Louisiana. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And this is, we're talking some history here. Plaquemines Parish has sometimes in the past, what, 80 years ago, New Orleans seems to get all the attention, and sometimes you guys don't.
Well, that's correct. And, you know, we only want our fair share here in Plaquemines Parish. More oil and gas comes out of Plaquemines Parish than any other parish in the state. And we know what this state produces for oil and gas for the United States. So that in alone speaks volumes. And so although we may not have a lot of people living in certain areas of this parish, that road to Port of Venice is so important and so vital to all of the oil and gas that goes to the rest of the country. But as you mentioned when you first got me on, how many houses does it protect? And although that is important, and that's my job to protect the livelihood and the homes of the people in this parish, the oil and gas does support a lot of the jobs and benefits for these people that live in this parish as well.
And is that the job fundamentally of the Corps of Engineers, do you think?
Well, let me tell you, the Corps of Engineers does a lot of great things. As a matter of fact, had it not been for their help and the governor's office yesterday, they saved the town of Braithwaite. We were having a levee topping on the east bank, and by moving quickly to change the diversion in the river, which usually funds fresh water into the marsh to build our marshland, they reversed it and pumped water back into the river, taking pressure off the Braithwaite levees. That was the key to saving that levee that was about to fail and was being overtopped. We had several parishes sandbacking, Craig Tafara from St. Bernard, Sheriff Jack Stevens, all of the Marlon Gusman from New Orleans sent people. We had all of the parishes helping sandbag. But the key to saving that was the Corps of Engineers and the governor's office working quickly to reverse that dredge and pump, reverse that diversion. So, you know, the Corps has some structural problems with the way decisions are made. And, you know, the pit team that gets to borrow material cannot get involved in the levee alignment. And those kind of things have roadblocks that have kept this levee from starting. And we just got to work through those things. We got to find a better way to do them quicker, cheaper, and make the best business decision and get all of the red tape out the way.
And is the red tape in Baton Rouge? Is it in Washington? Where is it?
It's in the system of the Corps. For instance, we've got a pit team that has met with me and said, you know, if you don't give us dirt, we can take it. ConocoPhillips and Citrusland offered the Corps free dirt, all the dirt they need to build the levees throughout this area. All they want is their land backfilled with river sediment out the river. Now, we dump 80,000 cubic yards of sediment out the river offshore every year. That division of the Corps says, well, we can't use that beneficially to build up the marsh. Our task is to clear the river channel. So they dump it offshore and they waste it. If we pump that into the marsh, you would need to build bigger levees or bigger flood walls because we would have trees and islands and levees out in the marsh that would protect New Orleans against the kind of tidal surge that devastated. And but the right hand can't work with the left hand to get this accomplished. I've been to Washington many times, beating my head against the wall. If they would backfill the pits, the landowners would give them the dirt. We're paying $27 to $45 a yard for dirt. Here they get it offered free, but the pit team at the Corps says, well, we can't backfill.
Uh-huh.
And that's crazy. That's ridiculous. We're wasting taxpayers' money when all they've got to do is change the rules, whether it's Congress, whether it's the Corps. It's got to be changed to make this work better.
Well, Mr. Nungesser, thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Billy Nungesser, president of Plaquemines Parish in Louisiana, with us by phone from his office there. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Susanna George, David Gura, Enrique Rivera, Ashley Grashaw, Dahlia Martinez, and Barry Hardiman. Our editor is Scott Cameron. Beth Novi produces our web content. Gwen Uten directs the program. Our associate producer is Sarah Handel. Drew Reynolds is our technical director, and he gets engineering help from Dennis Nielsen. Talk of the Nation's theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Our supervising senior producer is Carlene Watson. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer of Talk of the Nation. Richard L. Harris is NPR's director of afternoon programming. Tomorrow we'll talk about a patient's right to health care and a doctor or pharmacist's right to refuse on moral or religious grounds. Please join us then. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.